Okay, this is the meeting of the Application Review Committee. Today is January 6, 2023. The time is 7:37 a.m. Our meeting does say 8:30. Is that a problem?
The agenda? Madam Chair, we did consult with Ms. Galvin this morning. The public notice is the official indicator of the time of the meeting. So the public notice that we post in our building and that we post online has the correct 7:30 start time. So the fact that the agenda has a different start time is not an issue. We are fine as far as the open meeting law compliance
okay.
is concerned.
Just wanted to make sure. I just noticed it as I was looking at the agenda. So it is 7:38 a.m. and January 6, 2023. And this is the Application Review Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners. And I would like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Ms. Folks, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Catarino?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Folks. I also see an approval of the minutes for December 19, 2022. Both Dr. Catarino and I were present at this meeting. So do I hear a motion to approve the regular session and the executive session minutes?
I would like to make a motion to approve the both sessions. Can I do both at the same time? The regular and the executive?
Yes, since we were both the same people, I think it's fine. So I'll second it. All in favor for the approval of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We will go to item number 4, discussion, consideration, and possible action on psychology applicants. Dr. Stewart, what Dr. Catarina and I do, but sometimes I change that, but typically we go back and forth. We give a very, very brief summary of the applications because we both read it. We know the, you know, issues, and we really just talk about issues that we might have in the application. So sometimes one of us has an issue because we've noticed something, and so that really helps each other out. So the first item is 4A, requesting approval to sit for the EPPP, and these are applicants who are only requesting, they've completed their doctoral degree, they've done an internship, and they're requesting to sit for the exam. So we have one candidate, Peter Reynolds. Peter Reynolds got his doctoral degree from Wright Institute in California, which is APA approved, and he completed a 2,000-hour internship at ASU, which is also APIC APA approved. I didn't have any problems with his application. So Dr. Catarina?
No, I had no problems.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and make a motion to submit his application to the full board for approval to sit for the EPPP.
And I will second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we do approve each section as we go through. We have about 5-6 sections. So we will approve those candidates that fall under those sections. Our next item is B, 4B, is requesting approval to sit for the EPPP and licensure. These applicants are being reviewed for both their, they've already completed their pre-doc and post-doc. So the only thing pending in this category is the exam. So once they pass the exam, they can get licensed. So we're already kind of making that motion to approve them, and then the board will automatically issue the license once they have passing scores. So that's why we look, but they've completed all of the requirements. Yes, Dr. Stewart?
Dr. Malott, just for my own personal edification, I was reading through these, and it seems like
we have quite a few reapplications.
Yes. And one of them that passed part one, but not part two, I felt we were waiving part two for requirement of licensure.
No, if they have if they have applied for licensure after November 2020, November 1, 2020. Yeah. Then they are required to do both part one and part two.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
No, no, that's fine. Yeah, this is your opportunity to. So anytime you have questions, please don't hesitate to interrupt us because this is a learning opportunity too. So.
Thank you, Dr. Miller.
Yeah. So, so we have several candidates here. The first one in this category is Courtney Cryer. We have reviewed her application substantially in the past, so I don't have any problems with the application. She is a reapplication, and I was a little confused. Is she taking this exam for the third or fourth time, Ms. Fox?
So I said it was third.
This is the third time.
Third time. So we don't require a detailed study plan at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the they are applying for the fourth attempt. That's when they have to submit the study plan.
Okay. So in her case, we reviewed her application. We, you know, so it's a request to retake the EPPP. So I don't have any problems. Miss Dr. Katarina?
No, I have no problems.
Do you want to do the next one?
Yes, okay. This is Dr. Samir Arar, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes.
Has a degree in 95 in counseling. And he did a post-1500 postdoc, a 1500 internship. And let me see here. Okay, no, the course, his program was not APA accredited, but he listed all the courses and they seem to line up. There were some that I thought might have gone in different categories, but I thought he had the minimum ones of the in the correct categories. So I think he's okay. What is your thought on that, Dr. Miller?
Yeah, I am going to have to. Sorry.
I mean, the internship, I should know, was APA at the Arizona State Hospital.
I did have some questions on his application, but I have to. I'm using my iPad and my, okay. Yeah. Okay. So.
That's not his. Okay. I'm sorry. That wasn't his internship.
Yeah. But, his internship was not at an APA approved place. It was kind of a created internship at the, at a pain Access. Management center that yes. the site had created. And, the challenge I had with his application is the supervision hours. He listed 60. He needed 75. So two, yes. Right. And he does not meet that requirement. He also
Yes, I had that too, I see now. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
He also did not have other interactions with interns, though it was a very organized experience between the university and his site. And I'm wondering whether he met with other interns who had other sites and they came together to meet, which would then satisfy that requirement. So I think we need to ask that question. Was there interactions with other interns, not necessarily at his internship site, but, you know, just... in general. And then the third question I had was, who was the secondary supervisor? You know, was he also getting supervision through the university? Because it was seems like a very close relationship between the university and the site.
Yes.
And so those are the questions I have. So Ms. Folks, I think we need to send him a letter indicating more clarification on the supervision hours. There's only 60 listed. He needs 75. 1:20. Did he have interactions with other interns, you know, like through his university? Did the university hold regular internship meetings? And then who was a secondary supervisor? And then for his postdoc, even though it was a long time ago, so there's no agreement, could they write a brief letter describing the postdoc? So we knew that it was kind of an organized experience, you know, and he was getting just a letter describing, because that's why we allow the retroactive. They don't have to have a current agreement, you know, an agreement. So if the supervisor can describe that, you know, so. So those are the things. And if I'm not, I think that was it. There was somebody else.
I was looking at the courses. I think at first I wasn't sure, but I think he did meet some of the courses.
Oh, okay. Let me look at
that. Yeah, maybe just go back and check that again.
Madam Chair, committee members, if I may.
Yes.
On page 29. There is an email from Dr. Sams regarding question 26. He says, I had an internship program for almost 10 years, but only had one intern per year. There was opportunity to interact with other interns, but he regularly taught medical residents and fellows about behavioral pain management. That was his reply.
Yeah, that's how I
remember this. Yes. Uh-huh.
That was teaching. So that's not to me. Interaction would be if he was in case studies, case staffings, and so I read that.
We have had a reply regarding that. And if you look at the emails, Dr. Sams was not very cooperative in providing information.
But maybe he can go back to his university. That's what I was thinking. Though I know the counseling psych program has closed down at USC. I don't know who is around, you know, like the person who helped organize that training experience.
So there's some questions, yes, on a page. What page is this? 29? And that you wrote to Kathy, right?
Yes.
We should probably look at that.
Yeah, let me look at his coursework really quick again.
We have the question about the 50% or less of the face-to-face supervision.
No, the one
Your answer indicates that supervision was conducted via telehealth more than 50% of the time.
That is not an issue. They didn't even have telehealth in those. That's why he was confused. So to me, the supervision is fine. So he was very, so what is this telehealth? It didn't even apply. So that's, he was just.
But he's saying, if they didn't have telehealth, how did he do it more than 50% of the time?
The question is confusing. As long as he met the 2:1, I'm fine. Let's not, I mean, he's
okay.
Trying to make a point on that question. You know, as she said, he wasn't being very, I think I'm fine with the coursework. I didn't have any issues with the coursework.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no telehealth in 1994.
But he checked that he did have it. That was the confusing part.
That's the that question does trip people up. So we should let that go. But okay. The two issues is the
individual.
One is
the only individual.
Yes. And the second issue is interaction with other interns and the postdoc, if we can get a little bit of explanation of what the postdoc entailed. So, anything else, staff, Ms. Galvin, you think we need to address?
Not at this time for me.
Madam Chair, committee members, my question is if the internship, as Dr. Sams has already answered, did not have interaction with other interns, and we already have that answer, will that disqualify the internship completely?
I don't know if you heard. I mean, if what I want him to do is contact his program too and see. I mean, there could have been interaction with other interns. The program could have organized a weekly or monthly meeting.
Because sometimes
when you have situations like that, like we've had situations like that in Arizona for people in non-accredited sites, they've attended consortium meetings. They've attended meetings outside of their internship to meet the requirement for interaction with other interns. Okay. So we just need to inquire whether those kinds of, and that has been a fairly common practice when we've had students have attended meetings or the university has held professional meetings with interns, so they meet that requirement.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I did not get that clearly earlier.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's move to Nessa Gulick, 4B3. She is also a re-app for the part two. So we have a lot of, I don't have any problems with that.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the name of that person?
It's Nessa Gulick.
Yes. Okay. I thought you said something else. Yes, I have. I'm okay with that. Yes. Yeah. No problems.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jessica Lamar, Dr. Lamar. Mm-hmm. Also a retake. And the only question I had was, I looked her up and she's listed as a psychologist on various sites, but in emailing Kathy, we figured out that most of those sites were not under her control, and so she couldn't change.
They've kind of grabbed her degree because she has a doctorate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was my main question, but she seems believe it's a re-app, and she has a degree from Argosy, and she's the one, it's on the wrong number, of internship with Arizona State Hospital, which is APA accredited. So yeah. I think it's fine. That was my only question.
Yeah, and she is licensed as a mental health counselor too, so.
She has a practice. That's okay, yeah. But it's just because it said psychologist on like five sites.
Okay. Okay, the next one is Dr. Elizabeth Montgomery, who had received her PsyD from Illinois. She is applying for both to sit for the exam and licensure. All of her paperwork seemed in order. She's submitting pre-internship hours. And she had about a little over 2,500 hours, but she meets the supervision and the direct service. And of course, she's done a internship. So mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with her application.
No, I did not either. Okay. Next is Dr. Hinchan Lee. And the graduated from Widener University. And there you seem to have an internship. We've seen this before. Connected with the program, but it is, it seems like it's an APA internship. And then she has also a practicum, I think, at 1500. So I think she was okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't have a problem. Next one is Nina Savagia. Mm-hmm. She has a PsyD from Midwestern. Yes. And, so she had about 2,500 hours of direct for pre-internship. She had 780 direct hours, so that's fine. The supervision fell a little bit short, but she only needs 1,000 hours. So if you look at everything, she meets those ratios. You know, she needs 1,000 because she had a 2,000-hour internship. So. Did you notice anything?
No, I didn't notice any problems.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Then I have Colin McFadden. Passed a graduate of a Pacifica Graduate Institute, which was not APA accredited, but seems to have all the courses, I think.
He's been reviewed before.
Mm-hmm. And then does have, did pass part one. No, was it right?
Yeah, that's correct. He's applying for part two.
Applying for part two. and had an internship at Fairfax, which was APIC approved. So I thought, and a self-query form and references, so I thought it was okay.
Yeah. So,
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Just a typo. He's listed as a PsyD, but his degree is really a PhD, I believe. Oh.
For Pacifica? Yeah, it's a PhD. Yeah,
My apologies, Madam Chair and the committee. It's a typo, and I will fix it in the minutes.
Okay.
Good point.
Thank you. Okay, so the next one we have is Renata Cooper.
Renata, well, should we approve the first B section?
Oh, we moved category. Okay. Dr. Katerina, would you like
to make a motion to approve those applicants who are requesting approval to sit for the EPPP and licensure?
Okay, and we didn't have any questions, right?
Yes, we did. Number two, Dr.
Samar. So approve all of them but Samar and move Samar for additional information. You want to rephrase your motion?
Yes. I would move that we approve all the applicants who are requesting to sit for the EPPP and licensure with the exception of Dr. Arar, where we are expecting more information.
Okay. Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We will now move to 4C, which is approval of all of these candidates have applied for licensure. They have passed the exam, but they don't have at least 10 years. So we have to look at their credentials, both pre-doc and post-doc. So is that correct, Ms. Folks? Yes, because they already licensed in another jurisdiction. So the first one we have is Renata Cooper. So yes. Dr. Cooper was received her PsyD from Illinois School. Let me open up a file. She's currently licensed in Ohio. And yes. She did an APIC internship for 2,000 hours at Hartgrove Hospital. Mm-hmm. Her postdoc supervision I had a problem with because she indicates it's 1,000 hours, but the form that was submitted was only 520 hours. So the other 480 was not accounted for. So...
Well, I think maybe she could be using the pre-internship hours.
No, she's not.
1600.
No, she's not using. I didn't see any pre-internship forms in there. So.
Oh, I just saw I saw the hours listed.
Yeah, but she's not submitting those. And so it's like the supervisor who submitted the hours just accounted for his supervision. He did not account for. So she must have had another supervisor. And if you look at the hours, I guess you could do 1,000 hours in, so you could do 1,000 hours in May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So yes, you could do 1,000 hours in that time period, but, you need to have, she needs about 50 supervision hours and she only submitted 26.
Madam Chair, I do have another postdoc verification. I didn't realize, I missed that it wasn't in the file. If I could upload it and we could come back to her.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
And then I just had a question that she was terminated from a position.
Yes, that is the second question. And while the state of Ohio indicated that, you know, she was an at-will employee and there's no explanation given, I wish the intern would have, I don't know whether you're allowed to speculate in those cases. And I don't know, Ms. Galvin, whether we need to go into executive session or are we able to ask her for additional information? That's my question.
You are able to ask her for additional information, and it would probably be prudent to do so.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two issues. One is the supervision, Ms. Folks said she has the additional verification. So she will go back to the full board, to go back for additional information regarding her termination from the employment. And we look at her application again in a few minutes. So, Lisa Pratt is the next. Do you want to do Lisa Pratt?
No, hold on a sec. Yes. Okay. So she can, going licensed less than 10 years. She is licensed. She was licensed in California in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
She did attend Antioch University of Santa Barbara, which was not APA approved, but does have coursework. And the internship at CARD was 1,582 hours, and then a postdoc with the state of California, 1,590 hours. So she does have the 3,000 hours, but they're not APA approved. She does have references. I think all in all, we can approve her.
Okay. And the next one is, okay, there was only...
Those, I think, are the only two.
Okay. So, regardless, I think with Dr. Cooper, we'll come back for a motion on this item.
Okay.
So, in 4D, we're going to postpone that item till the end. So, let's go to 4E1. The first one is Arthur Horvath. Dr. Horvath has his ABIP, and because of his ABIP, we do have a licensure by credential, and that credential is accepted by our board in terms of meeting the requirements for licensure, and I don't have a problem with his application.
He answered yes to 17, but he gave a good response, I thought. So it was okay. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, I would approve.
Okay.
Next one is, let's see, Mejia. Okay. I'm just getting this. Okay, so she's asking for approval by credential, licensed in New York, Texas, Oregon, PhD from St. John's, and did an internship at the same place where I was a candy striper, and a postdoc in the Bronx. So I think she had all the forms. I thought that we could approve Dr. Mejia.
Yeah. And our last candidate is John O'Neill. And John O'Neill has a CPQ, the Certificate of Professional mm-hmm. Qualifications, which is through ASPPB. And so we do accept the CPQ. So he does meet the criteria for licensure in Arizona. So,
I think that the Ohio license is expired, but the Minnesota one is still in effect.
Yeah,
it's okay.
So, So we, I'll go ahead and make the motion that we submit these three candidates to the full board for approval of licensure by credential, Dr. Horvath, Dr. Mejia, and Dr. O'Neill. Do I hear a second?
Yes, I second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. I'm going to go ahead and do the last one in just very quickly mention each name, which is 4F. We have Dr. Melanie Wettstein, who received her PhD from University of Washington, licensed in California, and submitted her driver's license as proof of Arizona residency. All of these candidates are applying for universal licensure by universal recognition. The next one we have is Monique Oglesby, who's licensed in California, Maryland, South Carolina. She's also part of the SciPac, received her CIDE from Alliant, and she submitted her rental agreements. Dr. Amber White, CIDE, and licensed in Texas, submitted utility bill. She got her doctorate from California State Northridge. Then we have Cynthia Nakoski, who received her CID from Loma Linda, submitted her driver's license as proof. And Zoe Collins, CID from Alliant, and also submitted her driver's license from Arizona. So all five meet our criteria for universal recognition. Dr. Caterino, did you have any questions on any of these?
No, I do not have any.
Yeah. So I will make the motion to submit these five names to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition.
I second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We're done with 4F. We can go back to, I wonder, I'm in my iPad. I don't know how to refresh it though.
It's either D1.
Let me see if I go back if it's updated. And this is, who are we looking? Pratt, right?
Dr. Albert Letter.
No. Oh. We got one. I just want to finish up the C's. Cooper.
Oh, Renata Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Madam Chair, committee members, I did upload 4C1C. It says Cooper postdoc, second verification.
Oh, okay.
I'm not seeing it.
Were you able to refresh the meeting?
You know, I'm in my iPad.
Email it to you?
Is it right at the end?
It might be. If you haven't... if you've refreshed it but didn't sort it by if it's not in numerical order, it might be at the end.
Okay, I have to get there too.
Yeah, the email might work better.
Okay.
That's the five-page edition, Ms. Fox?
That is correct, yes.
And which page are we looking at for the additional information?
I think it is like the second or third page has the start of the postdoc verification. There's an email that it was, I always have to put the email that it came from so that we're tracking who the sender is.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, I do see it now. It was a separate attachment in the Google files. In the Google box. Okay. So this is by Dr. Waldman. And the other one was by... But the other one's also by Dr. Waldman. So it's the same thing.
He supervised her for a total of 800 hours.
Okay, let me go back to.
And Ohio law requires 2,000 hours. And of the 2,000, she had 800 with me. Let's see.
I apologize. I see the. I must have inserted the first.
Yeah, it's the same one.
The corrected one.
Yeah, it is the same one that we just saw.
Yes. Is there another?
No, this one has 1,000 hours rather than.
No, it does, but the supervision doesn't match. It says 26 for 1:20. That's the problem.
And he said 1 hour for 20 hours of direct service.
For a total of 26 hours
over 6 months.
6 months. And then he doesn't give us a total. I mean, if he just saw 26, it doesn't meet the requirement.
I see. So I did put the correct one in. It's just not meeting the supervision hours.
But then it says the 1 hour for.
I mean, it looks like it should, but it's like there's a second supervisor.
Right. Because this is only 1,000. Oh, this is.
He's only accounting for the hours he supervised. Right. So anyway, because we have to submit a letter of requiring additional information, we should bring up both issues. One is more information on the termination. And the second is she is missing 24 hours of supervision to meet the requirements, you know. And it appears that she should meet it because they said they provided 1:20. You
know? Right. So. But that's only for the. For those hours, 800 for some hours, right?
No, it says 1,000. She did 1,000.
But when I read that, I thought only his hours.
Yeah, he's only accounting for his hours, yes. So, okay. And then the second case, we had no problems with. So we go ahead and make a motion to approve, let's see.
Lisa Pratt.
To the full board for approval for licensure.
And I second that motion.
Yeah. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. So, and the motion for Dr. Cooper is we submit her application for additional information. So, do you second that motion?
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So we have one category that is 4D1, and it's Dr. Ledette. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Ledette is applying for temporary licensure. And just to give you a brief background, first question I had, if we do go into executive session, which I am going to make a motion shortly, could Dr. Stewart join us, or he's not allowed to join us since he's just a guest?
That's correct. He may not at this time.
Okay. I just want to give a little background before I request a motion to go into executive session. Dr. Ledette has a long history of trouble. He was previously licensed by the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners. He was put on multiple consent agreements. His license was eventually surrendered. He had a history of extreme DUIs and had problems reporting it to the board, keeping the board informed. He had problems with termination from 6 different employment agencies, some of which he resigned, but many that he employed. He had problems keeping the Arizona Board of Behavioral Health Examiners informed as per the informed consent agreement. He had challenges with UAs that was part of his consent agreement with California. So in my 17 years on the board, this is probably the application that I've seen the most number of issues. However, in Dr. Ledette's defense, he did then go back to school. He first did a master's in clinical psych from Argosy in Arizona. And then he went on to California to do his doctoral degree at California Southern. Yeah. So he got his doctoral degree from California Southern. He then did his internship at, forget what the agency's called. It's energy. Anyway, he did his internship. It's not an APA approved, not an APIC internship. But the agency did attempt to follow all the guidelines for a non-accredited internship. His supervisor, his second supervisor at the time, was undergoing challenges with our board. And so there's that issue that I would like to raise in executive session.
But I noticed that. His internship was completed 1 month before.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for making.
I did wonder about his coursework in social bases. He didn't list, but he had taken a course in cultural diversity, but he didn't list it under the social. And I thought, that does count, I believe, cultural diversity, but he didn't list that as his course to verify that. So he listed family and couple therapy and lifespan and child and adolescent therapy, which I don't think satisfies social bases, but I went through his transcript and I found this cultural diversity class from Argosy, and I think
so. Then we can go ahead and accept it.
I think so. Maybe
it should ask him to add it
in the right place.
We've got a lot of other.
Yeah, these are things that I thought we could mention in the general meeting.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he put the assessment treatment of diverse populations under cognitive affective.
Yeah.
Behavior, so which is kind of there's systems theory, and a lot of people will list family and couples therapy because often it has a systems approach. I'm not worried about his post.
Now, those are things I thought we could talk about here.
But I am interested in seeking legal advice, so I would like to make a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of legal advice regarding Dr. Ledet's application.
Yes. I second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Is Dr. Ledet present? I don't see him.
Yeah, I see him.
Yes, he is present.
Okay. His box is there. His camera's not on.
Oh, okay. So that's why.
Dr. Ledet, could you please turn on your camera?
Okay. Hi, Dr. Ledet. Thank you for joining us. We have reviewed your application and all of the information you submitted to us. And we as part of our due diligence with the board, we have a couple of questions, but just to give you, we would like the full board to review your application at maybe our February board meeting to give staff to organize it. Typically, when we've had an application where there's been a surrender of license and other issues with another board, it is incumbent on us to have the full board review your application. So that is going to be our recommendation. But I know Dr. Caterino had a specific question, and I have another question as well. But Dr. Caterino, do you want to talk about the postdoc, please?
Yes. So where are you? Did you start your postdoc, Dr. Ledet, already?
There was an internship?
No, your postdoc after your
postdoctoral experience.
I will be doing that with Dr. Carlos Jones and Dr. Paul Belgian.
Okay, because I read a letter from Dr. Jones, who I see is present, and it looked like he referred you to Dr. Belgian.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're doing two locations?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
At the same time or consecutively?
Yes, same time.
Okay. And does your internship, your postdoc plan include both?
Say that one more time.
No, does it describe both experiences in the postdoc? I need to find the postdoc plan.
So I thought we put that in there in terms of what we'd be doing. My understanding of it is pending this meeting or pending approval, we would move forward with specifics from there.
Well, you know, you don't need to have this approval to start your postdoc.
He does, because he is applying for temporary license. So we have to approve the postdoc plan as part of the...
Oh, it's different. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Because he's not just applying for approval to sit for the exam. So with temporary license, we do need to review the postdoc plan. Mm-hmm. So
what is your breakdown? Are you going to be doing how many hours a week for each with each psychologist?
I have Dr. Jones on. I could ask him to chime in on that, but I know my communication with Dr. Belgium, because the meeting was today, the 13th was the start date, but now it could be pushed back since you guys are gonna, it sounds like you're gonna continue to review, but it's gonna be one day a week, 8 hours with Dr. Belgium.
And then, you know, you'll have to be sure that you get the correct number of supervision hours.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Ledet, I would recommend that we have two separate plans for each agency. I'm assuming Dr. Jones's is not the same as I'm familiar with Dr. Belgian's, but I'm assuming they're two separate agencies.
Yes, ma'am.
So it is in your best interest to have two separate plans, because when you submit your postdoc, you will need two postdoc verifications.
Okay.
So, and then the supervision needs to align with the number of hours, and your direct hours also needs to align. So you
Dr.
do
Jones, need separate... I'm sorry to interrupt. Dr. Jones just informed me it will be 4 days a week.
Yeah, it does. At this point, since we would just need to see the approved training agreement that is signed between you and the agency and all of the particulars. You have a form that seems to be, okay, here, Rich. So yeah, you have a form that is very familiar to the board. So the form would work, but it does. So you have one. It says your primary supervisor is Dr. Zakaria, and so if it's Dr. Jones who's going to be your primary supervisor, then that needs to be mentioned in your application. It needs to be a signed agreement, okay? And then you need one with Dr. Belgian that also needs to be submitted. The other quest, before you meet with the full board, it would be good to have those two supervision plans in place. The second question I have is, since 2014, I do not see any employment records. And so if you could provide us with a detailed employment history, and if you had none, that's fine too, but just maybe provide that between 2014 and 2023 and just kind of, typical for like a resume, you know, what happened. And if you were not employed, just indicate that, because that would help us, given the past history, we just need to verify future employment since 2014, if you had some, you know, going well, so. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I was in school. I was working on the doctorate with Cal Southern University at that time, as well as I made lateral movement into the fitness industry. My ultimate passion is as a sports psychologist. Okay. It's one of my specialties. So thought I would get some experience in that arena. While
That would be all the things you would include.
Okay. Say that. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. You would include all of those experiences, any type of employment you've had since 2014, even if it's outside of, and this is a special request I am making as a part of the board. Just again, it's to help us kind of see what has happened since 2014 till right now. It would really help with us reviewing an application. And, you know, I really appreciate everything you've done to kind of, you know, kind of forging a new path ahead and working to become a licensed psychologist. Our ultimate goal is public protection as a psychology board. So we have to verify all of these. So any kind of employment you've had would be important for the board to know. And you have time, work with both staff and they let you know when they would need that. It's just listing. We're not asking for references per se, but obviously if there was any kind of termination that was not positive, you need to indicate that, you know. I really appreciate what you did in your application where you listed all of the issues and, and listed what happened. You were very forthright and we really do appreciate all of that as well. So, and then maybe really look at your postdoc training plans and provide updated information along with your supervisor who's planning to supervise each one. So there should probably be two. So if you can get both those pieces of information, I know this does create a delay. And because of the amount of information we are requesting and for the board to prepare for the full board meeting, we will have to do it in February. We have a meeting second week of February on a Friday. And it would help for you to be present. I don't know if the board can require, but Ms. Galvin, would we require his presence or is it optional?
I would think that it would be to his benefit to appear and therefore require his presence.
Okay, so board members have questions.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Ms. Galvin, could we not, this is, to help inform the applicant as well. So we will supply a letter with a very detailed explanation of everything that Dr. Malott has summarized, what needs to be submitted. But could the FAIR letter not also include the invitation to appear on the February 10th agenda? So that could be, in other words, rolled into the FAIR as something that the board requires?
Yes, it could.
Okay, great.
Madam Chair, committee members, I have a question for Jean. For clarification, Jean, my understanding with the temporary license, the applicant does not have to wait to participate in the postdoc. He just has to be enrolled. Is that correct? Am I reading the rule correctly?
I would have to look into that, Kathy. I don't recall for certain off the top of my head.
Okay. I bring it up only because in the past, temporary license applicants are often already participating in their postdoc when they apply for the license. My understanding for that statute, 32-2073, is that they have to be enrolled in a postdoc that meets the requirements of 32-2071 subsection G. And I'm concerned about Dr. Ledette having to wait until February to begin his postdoc.
Right.
So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that would be a decision that he would have to make.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So Dr. Ledette, you've heard Ms. Folks, review our statutes carefully. And if it appears that it's, and talk to both staff regarding that, you can do that, outside of this meeting. And if it appears to align, then you can go ahead. But you have to make sure your postdoc agreement is perfectly aligned with the standards set by our board. So, and so you may be able to accumulate, because the other thing is you also have the opportunity. We have different ways of getting licensed, and a lot of students, a lot of recent graduates will complete their postdoc before even submitting an application, and then they submit that for approval. So there's two ways. So if you had an approved postdoc, you know, your postdoc met the requirements, you could get started. And even if the temporary license, you know, so you have options. So do consider that, have a conversation with both staff, and so you're not delayed in acquiring your hours. But in the meantime, we will be reviewing your application, and especially your background, to make sure it aligns with our state statutes before we make a decision on moving forward with licensure. Okay.
And, you know, should he decide to begin his postdoc, that in no way ensures that his application for licensure would be guaranteed or approved by the board.
Yeah. Because the board looks at the entire packet, and we would look at your postdoc as well with that same lens of how does it align with both statutes. So. But we were just sharing the different ways that applicants go about meeting the requirements. So, do you have any questions for us, Dr. Ledet? And we appreciate your patience. I know this is not an easy process, and thank you for being here today. So,
no questions at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Ledet. And thank you, Dr. Jones, for joining in case we had questions. Appreciate you being here.
I do notice that Dr. Amir is here.
Okay. So I think I'm going to go ahead and make a motion regarding Dr. Ledet, and then I have a question for Ms. Galvin. I make a motion that we move Dr. Ledet's application to the full board for approval, and that board staff work with Dr. Ledet in making sure his additional information regarding his employment and postdoc agreements are, you know, are updated so that the board has full information.
I'm sorry. Your motion was that the application be moved to the full board for approval. I believe you I'm not sure based on the discussion that that's accurate. I believe that you want to send the application to the full board for consideration.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't even know I said that. So for consideration, for full review, both staff seek additional information based on our discussion at this meeting. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So motion approved. And so we're done with 4D. Thank you, Dr. Ledet, Dr. Jones, for joining us today. My question to you, Ms. Galvin, we've already voted on Dr. Samir's Arir's case. Do we just provide him with an update on what our questions were?
You may provide him with an update, yes.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Reed, thank you for joining us. We did discuss your case early on this meeting, and there were a couple of questions, and you will be hearing from both staff regarding the questions we had regarding your application. One of the questions we had regarding your application was the internship. The question that came up, there are three separate requirements that we had questions on. Because your internship was not APA approved or APIC, which is kind of the standard. And even back in 1995, I got my degree in 1991. So, and started working with students at that time. So these requirements were well in place. So we do require two supervisors for a primary supervisor and a secondary supervisor. So we would need more information on your secondary supervisor for your internship. We also require 1 hour of supervision for every 20 hours of supervision. I'm wondering if that's, sorry, I'm going off memory now rather than my notes. No,
that's correct. We only had documentation of that for 800 hours.
Oh, okay. You only had that, yes. So we had that as a question. And then we also had a question regarding interaction with other interns. Dr. Sims, I think, who was your supervisor, said, nope, this was a special arrangement. But we did not know whether maybe your program brought all the interns together and had, you know, monthly meetings and kind of, you know, check-ins with the interns. So you were interacting with other interns. And if that's the case, if maybe somebody from your program, I'm not sure if your program exists anymore at USC. I have a feeling, I think I heard it might have closed down, but I could be wrong. You're on mute, Dr. Reed.
Yes. Yeah. The program is closed down now.
Yes, that's what I thought. I think I heard that. Yeah. So, but maybe you're, sorry, I've been saying your name wrong. It's Arar, right?
Dr. Arar.
Yeah, yes. Dr. Arar. So, did you ever seek licensure right after you got your degree from USC, Dr. Arar?
Yes, I sought licensing from the State of Michigan Board of Psychology.
Oh, yeah, you got a limited license, yes, in Michigan.
Yes. And I attached it to my application.
Yes, you did. So I'm not as familiar with what a limited license means.
It's like it's kind of initial.
Oh, it's the temporary license.
Temporary. Oh,
okay.
License.
Okay. So that wouldn't, we have other ways of getting license in Arizona, but that wouldn't count. You do need full licensure if you were to seek. So if you can get in touch with anyone in your program who can verify, maybe, did you have contact with other interns?
Yes. There was a lady, her name was Faye. She was, specializing in biofeedback relaxation, you know, training, and we worked together in that regard, you know, with the domain of applying, you
know. Was she another intern?
She was, at that time, she was an intern.
For the entire, for your entire internship, was she there?
Or the majority of your internship?
Yeah, she was there. She was there from, she was before me. You know, when I started my internship, she was there. And when I ended my internship, she's still there.
And you worked with her. So maybe yes. If we can get documentation of that.
Madam Chair, if I may, Dr. Arar's, was that an internship, a psychology doctoral level internship for Ms. Faye?
I don't remember exactly. Was it a master degree or a PhD degree internship? But I knew that she was an intern at that time before she became a full-fledged employee.
So did your program have monthly intern meetings?
Meetings. With our supervisor, you mean, or with our...
During your internship, did the program bring interns at other sites back together to review, discuss?
Okay. We review and discuss the cases that we are handling, you know, with our supervisors and other, you know...
But did you go back to the program for meetings?
After the internship, you mean?
No, during the internship.
Yeah, we had meetings, periodical meetings, you know, to discuss the cases that we are.
And I'm not talking about practicum. I'm talking during your internship.
Yeah, during my internship, of course. My pre-doctoral internship, which is 1,600 hours at the Pain Management Center and Behavioral Medicine Institute.
Okay.
And the supervision doctor comes. And also, there was a physician who is an anesthesiologist who is the head of the pain management medical So there are two centers here. They were joining together, and I was working under the supervision of the licensed psychologist, Dr. Timothy Sams, and also the medical doctor. He signed on my certification.
But you have to have two psychologists. The medical does not qualify.
Okay. Well, yes. Okay, yes, there's Dr. Timothy Sams, his wife was a full-fledged psychologist, and she was also supervising program.
Okay, so we would need verification of the secondary psychologist that was also available for supervision if needed. And but did you go back to your university and meet as a group of interns?
During my internship, usually because we have coordinator for the internship program, Dr. Rodney Goodyear, and he's now emeritus professor at the University of Redlands.
So what did he do as part of your internship?
He supervised our work, you know, on periodical basis. You know, he gets us together and he sees how progress we are achieving.
So that's kind of what I imagined. So if you can get to describe, so he brought all the interns together and you all reviewed, and you all met together. Did he do some seminars or training sometimes during those meetings?
Like a group meeting with the other interns.
Yeah, it was like a group discussion. Like we present, you know, the kind of work that we are doing, the kind of practice, and, you know, the description of our program.
That's wonderful. So if you can get a hold of the Professor Emeritus that you discussed, and if he can describe the interaction he had with all the interns and the opportunity for the interns to interact with each other, that would be very helpful in our review of your application.
I will try to contact you.
So, and Ms. Folks can also explain what I'm kind of asking as well.
Okay.
And then if we can get verification from Dr. Sams regarding your secondary supervisor, and I don't know if Professor Emeritus was licensed at the time, and because it sounds like he was also providing guidance and supervision.
Dr. Rodney Goodyear, the Emeritus professor?
I'm not sure, but just provide all the information you can to help us in our review for your application.
I think he was a licensed psychologist and he was a famous one.
It would help us in your review, whatever information you can provide, including the secondary supervisor, if you said the second psychologist at the Behavior and Pain Management Center.
Do you need information about Dr. Girskis, who's the medical doctor supervising the...
As long as they are licensed psychologists. If they are medical doctor without the licensed psychology, then it does not qualify as your secondary.
Anesthesiologist, but he's director of the Pain Management Center.
Yeah, but they have to be... Our statutes say you need at least... You need a somebody with a psychologist background.
We have Dr. Timothy Sams and his wife.
That's fine. Then if we can get verification.
I can do that.
You will receive a letter, and please continue to work closely with Ms. Folks, as you know, to kind of help move your application along for review.
I will.
Dr. Caterino, we had one more question, and that was regarding your postdoc. Your postdoc supervisor indicated it's too long ago. We don't have a contract, and we do understand that. However, if your postdoc supervisor can just write a brief paragraph describing your postdoc experience, that would be most helpful. Okay, just a brief paragraph. We are not looking for past documentation. What did the postdoc entail? You know, who did you see? You know, just a brief paragraph describing and review our statutes as you write, as they write that paragraph. Okay, that would be most helpful. So if you can talk to your postdoc supervisor. Is that okay, Dr. Arar? I'm just...
Oh, yes. I thought you are talking to somebody else. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes. Would you say it again? Because I thought it was directed to somebody else.
Okay, Dr. Arar, no. So regarding your postdoctoral work, your supervisor indicated who completed your postdoc form said it was too long ago. We have no records. And that we do understand because it was a long time ago, you know, almost 30 years ago. But if your postdoc supervisor can just write a brief explanation and maybe you can help with providing some information back to your postdoc. I do know 30 years ago, I barely remember what happened either. But just a brief explanation that this was a postdoc, that you saw clients and you received supervision and, you know, just something to help us understand what the postdoc was about. That would be most helpful.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, he informed me that he provided the licensing specialist with the description of the program that I attended for postdoctoral internship. So, and he sent me a letter that he sent.
And maybe, what am I looking at? Sorry, let me go back to your application.
Yeah, that's what he told me. He said that he filled out the forms also.
He did fill out the form. You are right, Dr. Arar.
And he said he was, at first he was looking for, you know, the document regarding the description. And he informed me later that he provided you with the information about my internship, my postdoctoral internship.
And was that Dr. Faraj?
Faraj and Ms. Kathy told me that your application is administratively completed, because they all submitted, you know, what is needed, including Dr. Faraj. So
this is what Dr. Faraj wrote. I do not have a copy of the postdoctoral supervision plan as I left the agency and I did not take any agency. That was the explanation provided. We needed a little bit more information than that. In the form itself, he did say that you conducted initial evaluations, psychotherapy, psychological testing, worked with individuals, couples, and families, including children, adolescents, and adults. You participated in research as well. So,
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm sorry. Dr. Arar is correct. I did receive a longer document, but it said Samar internship supervision plan. So I didn't know it was the postdoc.
With Dr. Faraj, it was postdoc.
All right, let me upload it.
What page is this on?
No, it wasn't uploaded.
I'm going to provide it here.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he informed me that he provided Ms. Kathy Fox with a full description of the postdoctoral internship I had between 1996 and 1997.
Okay. Ms. Fox is uploading something.
Yeah. It's uploaded at this time. It says Samer internship supervision plan.
Let me look at it. So where did you upload it, Miss?
To the meeting folder. If you could refresh the folder.
I just did that, but.
Is it the one that says Samir internship supervision plan?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So where is it showing up? Is it a separate file or is it in the same
file? It's a separate file.
Okay, it's not yet shown up in my thing.
Look at it. It's at the very bottom. Yeah. Okay.
And this is from the supervisor?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I don't see that there are other contact with other interns.
No, this is postdoc. We're not talking about internship.
Well, the one I'm looking at says internship supervision plan access.
And it's supposed to be postdoc. Is that correct?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's postdoc. Yes.
What you were saying. Okay, but it says internship. I was confused.
Yes. In one of the paragraphs, it indicates that.
Yeah, the first paragraph says postdoc.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Clinical supervision is from 1 to 3 hours of case discussions for every 20 hours of clinical practice. Is the case discussion, was that with other interns as well as the supervisors?
It's like multidisciplinary meeting, including,
let me pause. We don't need interaction with other interns for the postdoc. So that's not a relevant question.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I see the letter. It's a letter that Dr. Waldman wrote. This is regarding your internship. Oh. Okay. So I've been asked to submit the postdoctoral training plan for. No, this is Renata Cooper. What is this? Oh, you sent that to me as an email. Could you send me the other thing as an email as well? Because
yes, Madam Chair, I'll do that right now.
Because I am not seeing it in my... I have another meeting starting at 9. So
I do too.
All right, I've just sent it to you, Dr. Malott.
Okay.
So on page 27 of the original file describes the internship.
But we're talking postdoc right now.
Yeah, postdoc, I found that on the separate, in the new.
I still haven't received the email, and I'm sorry. So maybe I'll try to go into my
What I wanted to say about the internship, he says the interns, like with an S. So I don't know.
If you could refresh your email, it should be there now, Dr. Malat.
I am, but I still don't see it in my email. Let me check my laptop email. Nope, I'm not seeing it in both places.
Yeah, but then in the other letter after, the email says there was no opportunity to interact with other interns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but then it is plural interns in the description as well.
Because they got an intern every year. That's part of the reason for the plural, I think.
Oh.
Yep, I still don't see it.
Mine shows it sent at 9:06.
Oh. I know, it just hasn't come though.
All right, do you want me to add it to the file itself? Would that maybe help?
Yeah, I would like that. I have to, I'm behind, I have to go. But
okay,
that might be good. I can see it in that file.
Okay, I got it now. Okay. This is really good. This is fine. This will meet the requirements. Yeah. Yeah, this should have been added to the file. I mean, they said internship, but still. This is the Access Family Counseling and Mental Health Center?
Yes,
it yes. is. Okay, and it says the goal of the program is to provide psychology yes. and the supervisor, the postdoctoral program. Okay, you do not need to do this. So we do have that requirement, Dr. Aral, thank you for raising that because you did. This was submitted,
okay.
And we now I've had a chance to review it, and it does provide enough information for us. So,
and my apologies to the committee and Dr. Aral that did not get put in the file as it should have been.
Okay, okay. So we're good then with the postdoc. Ms. Folks, we made a motion earlier requesting that information. Please, I don't know.
Can you resend that? Can you resend that motion? Make okay. a motion resending that motion, and then make a new motion that okay. aligns with the action that you just took.
And if I'm not mistaken, we did Dr. Arar as a separate motion, so it doesn't interfere with the motion to for that category. So. I'm not sure who made the motion. Whether
I did. I think I said with the approval of the others, with the exception of Dr. Aurora.
Okay, so can you rescind your motion?
Yes, but did I just say I'm rescinding the previous motion?
With respect okay. to Dr.
Aurora.
Regarding Dr. Aurora?
Yeah, I will go ahead and second it. All in favor of rescinding the motion, say aye.
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 Now should I make a new motion yes, for everyone in the B category?
Yes.
Okay. I like to make a motion that we approve all the applicants listed today.
It would just be Dr.
Just Dr. Arar because
Dr. Arar was the I was taking back all of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve Dr. Arar to sit for the ECPP and licensure.
No. Let me go ahead and make the motion.
Yeah, please do.
Sorry. Yeah. I'd like to go ahead and request that both staff contact Dr. Arar regarding his pre-doctoral internship training experience and that we require additional information either from his program regarding additional contact with interns, a secondary supervisor, and supervision hours, right?
Yes, correct. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure that's correct.
Yes, because he needs 75 supervision hours. We only received information on 60 for the internship, and if there was additional supervision hours. So those are the three things that we need additional information on. Thank you, Dr. Arar, for coming and helping clarify. And
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
So I made the motion. Do I hear a second?
Yes, second. I second
the All motion. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Dr. Arar, you will receive a letter. So agenda item let's go to the last agenda item, which is new items. Any new
items?
I don't
have any.
Okay. Okay.
May I leave now?
Yeah, the meeting's almost over. You could leave at any point. Thank you, Dr.
Okay.
No, you can leave. You're fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Dr. Moore, I'm not sure.
Madam Chair, if I may, Ms. Moore is here for the CBA meeting, which begins in about 18 minutes. So I'll address her after you adjourn.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. This was not an easy meeting. Lots of information. Thank you, Dr. Stewart, for joining us. So, thank you. We'll see you all soon. Bye.